Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Last week, President Obama announced a halt to deportations for some young undocumented immigrants brought to the country by their parents, allowing them to remain in the U.S. and apply for work permits. While some have called that move a much welcome step toward a more just immigration policy, other advocates are worried about legislation under consideration at the state level that would further restrict the rights of undocumented citizens. Joining us to talk about immigration policy in the North Carolina General Assembly are Kevin Rogers and Ron Garcia Fogarty with the WeRNC Coalition.
First, let's talk a little bit about We Are North Carolina Coalition before we get into some of these specifics. Tell us about the coalition. Why do we need this?
WeRNC Coalition is a group of like-minded organizations that are just trying to put the message out there that immigrants are important for North Carolina, that immigrants are people in North Carolina, and that they shouldn't be ignored or pushed aside.
Just to add to that, we're in a climate right now that's very anti-immigrant in many ways, and there was a real need to have a broad statewide coalition that would, you know, advance the ideals of, you know, having immigrant rights in the state and for equal treatment for everybody.
And as evidence of the fact that we're in an anti-immigrant era, there was a legislative committee created to sort of cut down on the rights of immigrants. And they've had several meetings. They've looked at several pieces of legislation. First of all, before we get into the specifics, what do you guys think of the committee and so far and what they've done?
The actual name is the House Select Committee on the State's Role in Immigration, which is just a spectacular name for a ridiculous committee to begin with. And it's, you know, we've had, I think, three committee meetings so far, and they've essentially been horse and pony shows. I think we actually got some public comment on the very last one. But it's been a unique experience so far as committee meetings go. I can't exactly say a lot of positive things about it, but I don't know there's so many negative things either. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and one thing to consider too is that this is like part of a nationwide effort. You know, there's this Immigration Reform Law Institute that's behind a lot of this anti-immigrant legislation, and it's supporting the state legislators for legal immigration, you know, which are the ones who actually draft the legislation at each one of the state, you know, where we've had anti-immigrant legislation. So it's not an isolated effort, but, you know, it's obviously being pushed. You know, there's a push right now to have something that's specifically North Carolina.
And there's a lot of talk since the Republicans were elected and many of them ran on, or at least part of their campaign was anti-immigrant rhetoric was part of it. And there was a concern that they were going to come up with some Arizona-type legislation or worse. Are you still worried that that's a possibility down the road?
It's definitely a possibility. I think there's less of a chance of it happening this year just because they're waiting on, you know, what happens in terms of Arizona right now. And at that point, we're going to be in full campaign season. And it doesn't mean something can't happen, but there's less likelihood that something will happen this year. You know, there's, I think, more possibilities that we're going to be looking at this again, you know, in earnest early next year.
It looks like a lot of the rhetoric, and I'm sure this is true in other states too, is that there's a perception somehow that immigrants are draining taxpayers' resources and that we're all paying this money for people who are here illegally without documentation. What do you guys say when that comes up? And it comes up all the time, I know, in this committee and other places.
Well, I think it's a really difficult argument to make. I mean, you look at what's happened in Arizona after they passed SB 1070. And if you don't want to argue this on a moral level, if you look at it just strictly on an economic level, the amount of money they have spent in Arizona to defend it, and they still haven't even been able to implement it because it's been enjoined by so many different courts at this point. It's absolutely ridiculous to say that they're any sort of the only drain on the economy in any way, shape, or form from immigrants are people trying to prevent immigrants from actually doing what they're trying to do.
It was pretty interesting at the January committee meeting, they invited government officials, you know, to kind of try to get some background about how are we supporting undocumented immigrants, where are all the resources going to. And one after another, it was clear that, no, they're not benefiting right now. In fact, you know, many people are, you know, really struggling and they're not able to get, you know, health benefits, you know, education, you know, all these kind of things that the committee members were assuming were things that undocumented immigrants were benefiting were not the case. Also, in terms of taxes, most workers pay taxes. I mean, whether they're documented or undocumented, there's often this perception that all this money is going to undocumented immigrants and they're not paying into the economy when it's actually the opposite is true. Almost everybody pays taxes unless you're a day laborer or some other informal employer situation. And in fact, they're not able to access many benefits. And this is why we see sometimes that people don't go to the hospital until like it's a very dire situation, you know, and you see a lot of bad things happen because of that. You know, people just being fearful of accessing all kinds of services because of their status.
There's been a decent amount of stories in the news about undocumented immigrants who are fearful to maybe report crimes, or law enforcement officials can't get the information they need. So fear sort of not only prevents people from getting benefits, but it's actually dangerous.
Yeah, and this is from even before this committee stuff. I mean, we had 287G before that, which was, you know, these partnerships that sheriffs go with immigrations and customs enforcement, you know, and these were signed at specific county levels, you know, by some sheriffs. And this is now being phased out, and we're now having a situation with Secure Communities, which is this program that's going to be that's implemented now in all 100 counties in North Carolina, where basically people, if they get arrested, you know, for whatever reason, it could be a traffic violation, whatever, you know, they get fingerprinted and they get run through the ICE database. So now, you know, every county is kind of in some degree being, you know, enforcing immigration laws, you know, because of this new program of Secure Communities. And that's something that drives up fear a lot. People are afraid to report even domestic violence cases, you know, breaking into their house, all kinds of things like that, because they don't trust their local law enforcement.
Obviously, this anti-immigrant sentiment has been there off and on through our history. But I wonder recently, does the economic downturn, even though we're sort of climbing out of it a little bit, make it easier for folks who have anti-immigrant feelings to get some of these things passed, or at least get their voices heard? Because all they say is, oh, they're taking our jobs and we have a high unemployment rate.
Sure. I mean, everyone wants a scapegoat, right? It's never their fault. It's never, it's, you know, you can never point the finger at yourself and say, you know, we've done something wrong. So, you know, immigrants are a group that are easy to identify for the most part, and they're easy to push aside specifically because of all of these fear factors that we've been talking about. So, absolutely. I mean, anytime the economy goes down, the fear of immigrants comes up. And when everything's going fine, well, that's fine. There's enough to go around. So I think that's a pretty settled historical pattern. Yeah.
And what do you say to folks who use that argument, who would say to people who really aren't paying attention to the statistics in the economy, oh, we have a high unemployment rate, but yet immigrants are taking our jobs?
Well, I think you can see the effects of what's happened already in some of these other states that have implemented drastic anti-immigrant measures. And you see, you know, in agriculture, for example, there's a lot of difficulty in, you know, hiring enough labor to pick the crops, to harvest, you know, all that kind of stuff. But not only there, I mean, in all kind of industries and construction, you know, all across the board, you're seeing an impact. And it's oftentimes, not always, I mean, sometimes it's the wages are really low, you know, and that's something we're also, we need to address, you know, having a living wage in all kind of industries. And because I think that's sometimes a deterrent for all folks, for all kinds of people, whether they're undocumented or not undocumented or legal residents. But the fact is, oftentimes the work is sometimes something that immigrants are willing to do because it's more than what they have back home, where they don't have hardly any opportunities in some cases. And sometimes people here may not take those jobs necessarily.
Has the business community spoken out, do you think, enough? I mean, it seems that those are people who actually employ these folks who are working hard and doing a lot of things. And I've always thought it would be hard for lawmakers to pass or even discuss these things really in any serious way if the business community was unified against them.
Yeah, I mean, the business community has definitely spoken out some level. Obviously, I think everyone needs to speak out more, including the business community. I think that's really the solution to this, right? Particularly those who are involved in agricultural fields, obviously, are concerned about the effects of increased ICE raids and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think people should be really concerned about what is essentially becoming a two-tiered economy. And as wages go down on one side, it's going to pull wages down on the other side. And those are things that people need to understand going forward. And that's what smart business leaders understand, that whether they're willing to speak out and say things is obviously always another story. But as these things progress and it becomes more and more in the public eye, more and more business leaders are going to speak out because it's going to be in their best interest.
And before I let you go, and I know we were out of time, but we've talked about defending sort of immigrants from this anti-immigrant legislation. But what can we do positively? I mean, what ultimately can we do about the situation so we don't have to keep revisiting these onerous bills every year?
Well, I mean, the obvious solution is actual immigration reform at the federal level, right? So that's something that I think all of us are pushing for, and we'd like to see that. And I think that's the solution at the federal level. At the local level, it's really pushing back against this negative stuff until we can get a more comprehensive solution in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would add to that that there's also a cultural shift that needs to happen, you know, in terms of really having a more inclusive state, you know, a state that recognizes and values all the different kind of contributions that we have to not only the economy, but to our social life, to our political life, everything, you know. So we need to really value all the different perspectives and all the contributions that people bring to this economy.
Well, thanks for what you guys are doing, and we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.